Good morning, everyone. Acts chapter 20, one of my favorite chapters, especially when we get to the part of his farewell address to the church in Ephesus. So he's actually leaving there now after the uproar had ceased from chapter 19. Paul sent for the disciples, and when he had exhorted them and taken his leave of them, he left to go to Macedonia. I love that exhorted, he encouraged strenuously, you know, he called people to continue living for God in an encouraging but in an exhortation type way. When he had gone through those districts and had given them much exhortation, he came to Greece, and there he spent 3 months. And when a plot was formed against him by the Jews as he was about to set sail for Syria, he decided to turn through Macedonia. So, you know, Paul's on his third missionary journey now and going through cities like Philippi and up in that area. Maybe he got down to Thessalonica and visited some of those places. And he was accompanied by Sopater of Berea. You might remember the Bereans were from that area. The son of Pyrrhus, and by Aristarchus of and Secundus of the Thessalonians. So he must have went there, and maybe they traveled along with him now. And Gaius of Derbe, and Timothy, and Tychicus, and Trophimus of Asia. And it's interesting to study those people and just see how they partnered with the Apostle Paul in ministry. But these had gone ahead and were waiting for us at Troas. So Paul's going to start beginning his journey back, and these folks are going to go ahead of him to Troas. We sailed from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and then came to Troas within 5 days, and there we stayed 7 days. So he met up now with everybody after sailing. He met up with everyone at Troas. Interesting story here. On the first day of the week, so on Sunday, we were gathered together rather than on Sabbath Saturday, like the Jews, to break bread. And this is, you know, one of the reasons why we meet on Sundays now. It's also the day that Jesus rose from the dead, but the first day of the week became the Christian day to meet. Paul began talking to them, intending to leave the next day, and he prolonged his message until midnight. Talk about talking for a long time. Man, we go for sometimes as much as an hour 15, maybe a few times a year over that. We're like an hour 10. And, you know, you get people complaining for that. Here, Pete prolonged his message till midnight. Come on, people. There were many lamps in the upper room where we were gathered together. And there was a young man named Eutychus sitting on the windowsill, sinking into a deep sleep. And as Paul kept on talking, so apparently he really went on that night. The fact that Luke is saying it like that, Paul kept on talking, and he was overcome by sleep and fell down from the third floor and was picked up dead. Good thing we have our church all on one floor, right? There's a couple of folks that tend to doze off. So anyways, come alert to church. Have your caffeine in the morning. You know, somehow be ready to listen. Don't get in that habit of taking a rest. But Paul went down and fell upon him, and after embracing him, he said, "Do not be troubled, for his life is in him." And when he had gone back up and had broken the bread and eaten, he talked with them a long while until daybreak. I've never been a part of something like that, where someone preached until daybreak. You know, Paul might be thinking this is the last time he's going to see these folks. And man, he gave them everything he had. And then left them. They took away the boy alive and were greatly comforted. Wow, praise God that young man survived. But we, going ahead to the ship, set sail for Assos, intending from there to take Paul on board, for so he had arranged it, intending himself to go by land. But when he met us at Assos, we took him on board and came to Mytilene, Sailing from there, we arrived the following day opposite of Chios, and the next day we crossed over to Samos, and the day following we came to Miletus, for Paul had decided to sail past Ephesus. Remember, he had a real special relationship with that church, and he had been there 2 years, so that he would not have to spend time in Asia, for he was hurrying to be in Jerusalem, if possible, on the day of Pentecost. So all this is happening on the 50 days between the Feast of Unleavened Bread, or Passover, and Pentecost, and he's trying to get there in time, and he decides to not go to Ephesus because he's afraid he might get stuck there. From Miletus, he's sent to Ephesus, he's sending people to go get the leaders from Ephesus and called to him the elders of the church. So they're going to come to him instead of him going there. And when they had come to him, he said to them, now here is quite a remarkable speech, very memorable, and let's take it in. He's got the elders now again, perhaps the last time he's going to see these guys. And he says, "You yourselves know, from the first day that I set foot in Asia, modern-day Turkey, which is where Ephesus was, how I was with you the whole time, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials which came upon me through the plots of the Jews, how I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you publicly and from house to house, solemnly testifying to both Jews and Greeks of repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ." Man, what a word. Let's keep going though. "And now behold, bound by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, I am on my way to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit solemnly testifies to me in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions await me." He knows he's going to get persecuted in Jerusalem, but he just believes that's God's plan for him. Listen to what he says next. "But I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself, so that I may finish my course in the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God." Hallelujah. That's what Paul was called to do. And he did it. "And now behold, I know that all of you among whom I went about preaching the kingdom of God will no longer see my face. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole purpose of God." Man, Paul was a bold man, and he was a man who shared the truth. He shared it with love, but he wasn't going to compromise what was true. And he would tell people exactly what they needed to hear, solemnly testifying to the whole counsel of God's word and to the whole purpose of God. And he didn't shrink back from telling them anything publicly or from house to house, whatever was needed to be said. And I frankly think we need more churches like that, that are teaching the whole counsel of God's word, that don't shrink back from any of God's word, because we have a world of Christianity that's getting watered down on cherry-picked verses because people don't know the whole counsel of God's word. If you want to know the whole God, you need to know the whole Bible. If you want to be a whole Christian, you need to know the whole Bible. You need to learn the whole counsel and the beauty of God's purposes and his ministry. And Paul was called to that ministry. And if you sometimes wonder why I say what I say or do what I do, it's because I sense this calling for me. I sense that God has me here to proclaim the whole counsel of God's word and to not shrink back from any of its truth. And I see that as something very dear to me and extremely important and what I am to do while I'm here. And, you know, I hope more people want to hear the whole counsel of God's word, but I'm not first and foremost about having more people. I'm first and foremost about wanting to proclaim the whole counsel and not shrink back from anything that God said is true. And may that attract people. But the goal is not first a crowd and second truth. The the goal is truth in the whole council, and to allow that to be the calling card to attract people. And that way, when they're attracted to it, I'm not going to have to change the message to make anybody happy. Rather, I'm going to make the Lord happy. And I think those who love Jesus, it'll make them happy too when you solemnly testify to the whole counsel of God's word. You know, that word was used several times in this passage, to solemnly testify. And it's a compound word. And the first part of it is a through or with or throughout or by reason or an account of, to reason, to explain, so to speak. And then the second word is the word for martyr, the word to be a witness, to give a testimony, to implore, to conjure up. So it's to through be a thorough witness, to be a reasonable witness. And, you know, to me, it has that emphasis of the Holy Spirit too, where it's like, man, I am just going to proclaim the whole counsel of God's word. I'm going to reason with it. I'm going to be a witness. And I don't care about the consequences. What I want to do is I want to testify solemnly to the gospel of the grace of God. And I believe that's a holy calling. It was Paul's calling. And man, he was unbelievable, traveling the whole world doing this and facing so much persecution. I have it so much easier than he. But I'm thankful for his example, because it definitely does inspire me. For I did not shrink back from declaring to you the whole purpose of God. And Lord, may that be our church, and may that be what I do too. Verse 28, be on your guard for yourselves and for the flock. This is to the elders, to the leaders of the church in Ephesus, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. The Holy Spirit's called you to that role, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Hallelujah. I know that after my departure, and this is what's happening all the way through this day, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves, even in the church, maybe even in church elders, men will arise speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. There's going to be false teaching, and part of the role of the pastor and elders is to guard against false teaching. Therefore, be on the alert. Remember that night and day, for a period of 3 years, I did not cease to admonish each of one of you with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. What a word that is. And now I commend you to God. I turn you over to God. I'm leaving, but you have God with you and the word of his grace. And if you stick with the word that you've been taught, it's able to build you up and give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified, who have been made right and cleansed by Jesus. I have coveted no one's silver or gold or clothes. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my own needs and to the men who were with me. And Paul many times worked and created income so that he wouldn't have to rely always on the people. And he did many times, was provided for by the churches and did request them to be generous for his ministry and mission. But at times he supplied for his own needs too. In everything, I showed you that by working hard in this manner, you must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And, you know, I think when Jesus comes and lives inside of you, there will be generosity. That's part of who you are. Now, some have it more of a gift than others, but we should have more generous spirits, because, you know what, we're not going to take anything with us, and we're only going to be here a little while. And our home is in heaven. And Paul exemplified that. And when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. And they began to weep aloud and embraced Paul and repeatedly kissed him, grieving especially over the word which he had spoken, that they would not see his face again. And they were accompanying him to the ship. Wow, what a connection they had. And I think what Paul said was important, and we should all be this. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Now, clearly the Apostle Paul was a very special, unique man of God, and they loved him. But ultimately, they need to have a relationship with God and with his word. And that's the most important thing, and that their relationship with God is not tied to a man, but instead it's to God. Now, I'm thankful for the Apostle Paul's witness, but always know and make sure you're not following some preacher. We have too many heroic preachers today. No one's to be your father except God the Father. So, you know what? I hope one day, you know, if those who I'm ministering to, if I'm no longer in your presence, that, you know, you should just keep on keeping on, because I've told you from day one that you need to have a relationship with Jesus and the Word of God. I'm not your Savior. I'm not your Lord. I'm just someone serving him alongside of you. But, you know, we all have to have our personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and may we make it a close one, and may he be our Father, and may the Word be our sustenance. And I'm aiding for a little while, and I want to help, and that's what God has me here to do. But may the help that I give you not have you rely on me, but rather that you would have your own deep personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. May we solemnly testify. I guess I want to just close with that and say this to the church. We need more men and women of God who are going to speak the whole truth and nothing but the truth. So help us, God. One of the reasons this world is going astray is because the church has compromised. The church has been more interested in creating fans than followers. And as a result, they don't speak the truth. And as a result, the world gets lost and more confused. And we need more people to be solemnly testify as witnesses of Jesus Christ to the whole counsel of what God has said, to believe in it and know the whole thing is good and blesses us to know it all. And may it not just be me, may it not just be a pastor or elder, but may all of us stand firmly upon God and his truth and speak the truth with love, solemnly testifying to him. May more of us do that. Lord, help us. God bless you all.